Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about acting, the craft of acting. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Act as if, meaning act as if you know what you're doing and you might pull it off or become the person you'd like to be. That's a theory lots of research supports. Is that what acting is? Is there a bit of the sociopath in every actor? I suspect the answer is no, that acting is something else, something deeper than a lie. And if we try to get to the bottom of what acting really is, we'll understand why we love the actors we do. What happens, for instance, to a Shakespeare play, the same story, when a different actor plays the lead? People still talk about seeing this actor or that actor on Broadway in Death of a Salesman. Do you have a secret desire to act? We have actor in New York City, acting teacher Grace Kiley on the show. We will open the phones for your questions. She studied with one of America's legendary teachers, Uta Hagen. Grace teaches now at NYU Tisch, the Stellar Adler Studio, Trinity La Mama, and independently at The Network. She directs and has coached for 20th Century Fox, and she has been developing a solo play on the life of Grace Kelly. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. So good to finally connect with you.
Yes, it sure is. How are you?
I'm great. So you know, Grace, do you think the CIA or the FBI would be smart to hang around acting studios to spot the best recruits?
Oh, what an interesting question. No.
Why?
Well, you know, in a way, yeah. I sometimes, when you're studying a character, you're reading a pattern, really. And so I suppose if you're thinking of it that way, if an FBI is interested in acting as a way to understand human behavior and patterns in a way to, you know, as a means to find somebody or find information, yeah.
I've interviewed a man who was undercover, and he had infiltrated the mob, and every single thing he did, since he was so inside, his life depended on. If he made a mistake, you know, they're so used to this kind of stuff going on. They're watching carefully. They're testing people who come in to this sort of inner circle. He just could not make a mistake. And I remember thinking about him, what a great actor he had to be.
Yeah, the FBI person was a great actor.
Yeah, the undercover guy. Yeah, for the FBI.
Yeah. Because he was needing to be aware of environment. He needed to be very specific about everything around him. He needed to be super kind of connected and be able to see, you know, things that were going on inside him as well as outside of him. So he was really tracking the full environment of the scene, I suppose you could call it the scene, as an actor would be in a scene in a play. Everything about that scene in the play or film is alive and active and a part of the story that the actor is living in. So I could see that the FBI person would need to have that same kind of awareness and vigilance and, you know, vision and intuition, and have everything, you know, sort of in peak order in order to be aware, fully aware and connected to his environment.
So does it seem like a better idea now, that question I asked you, that the FBI should hang around acting studios and pick the best people?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I wonder if they have acting coaches in law enforcement. Have you ever heard of that?
No, but it makes sense.
You'd be smart.
Yeah.
So, how about this? I have so many questions for you. If you're coming, let's say I'm coming into an acting class with you, and this is my first acting class, and let's say there are 20 of us. What is the very first thing you do with people?
Well, when I do my classes, I have them bring in a monologue so I can get a sense of where they are as an actor, how they're approaching it, and so that I can personally connect. If someone comes in with a monologue, then I can connect with, you know, what they're doing. Then they get a sense of who I am. I get a sense of who they are. I really try to create an environment of trust, that there are no mistakes, that it's a laboratory. It's always in process. We're not looking for end results. We're looking at exploring and opening. I teach scene study. In scene study, I will bring in improvisations to open people up and explore. Improvisations are wonderful for exploring and developing. But my work is scene study based, meaning a scene in a play or a scene from a screenplay.
So you're working on that one scene in this kind of detailed way.
Yes,
that conveys a certain wisdom about other scenes that might come that person's way, I guess. Can we come back to improv for a second? I think about Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think about Lisa Kudrow, who does a show called Web Therapy on Showtime. And, you know, these are pretty improv-based. And I think I can tell they have certain plot lines given. They know what direction they're going in. But the ability to improvise these actors is so unbelievable to me. Mm-hmm. What is the key to that?
Well, the kind of improvisations I do in my class are a bit different, because I have each improv that I do is following a basic structure, which is a basic structure of a scene. So it's how I also teach a basic structure of a scene, so that actors will make sure that they employ all the elements that is in a scene. For example, there's a physical environment, there's a place, there's a relationship to the place, there's a relationship to props, there's an activity in the scene that has to do with the objective in the scene, there's a conflict, there's relationship, there's something that the characters want from each other, which brings them into the conflict. So some of those comedy things that you see, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, mm-hmm. are much more random and free form, and so that's what's different. Mine are all, we're always working toward the structure and finding more life and finding more possibility mm-hmm. in a scene, and that's how we're using improvisation.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say I'm in the acting class and we start working together, and you can spot in me a kind of self-consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I think about, you know, if I actually did take an acting class, at a certain point, depending on what you asked me to do, I can imagine that would be the big hurdle I'd have to get over. I would be so self-conscious about doing X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you know, I think one of the most important things as an actor is courage, because it does take courage. But what you find, if someone is very self-conscious, I'm going to bring them to the closest thing that they can focus on and connect with, that is going to begin to get them grounded and out of the self-awareness and involved in the process that they're in, the action that they're in as a character. And once that takes over, then the self-consciousness goes. It's really directing the anxiety into the scene, into the objective of the scene. And that's what technique is. It's using anxiety toward an end. And so, and it could be something very simple. You often see in audition situations, actors are very anxious because there's no environment there. They come in with nothing. And so I always teach my actors when they're working on audition pieces first to work on it as a scene, so that you get connected to the environment, the physicality of the scene. That's what pulls the self-consciousness down and into the work, into the action of the play.
Mm. I'm trying to figure out in preparing for this conversation with you, I have been, what it is that makes the best actors. You know, how much is learned? Of course, a lot is learned, but mm-hmm. but how much is innate? I mean, are there people who are just born to act?
I think it's, you know, different people have different ways of understanding their lives, and based on how they're brought up, different ways that they can release and express themselves. Someone might be someone who's more of a writer, and that's how they understand their lives and explore their lives. With an actor, it's so much about human behavior and wanting to sort of learn more about who you are and the study of human behavior. I think it's the, you know, it's a survival need. It's a need to live in a way that connects you to the earth in your fullest way. And I think an actor is someone that has that passion. It's a life drive, you know. I get kind of huffy about the whole talent idea. I think that if anyone really wants something in a meaningful way, the talent will be there. It amazes me the different people that come in and when they get involved and get over the self-consciousness and start moving into the acting, the talent is there because it's needed as a means to find something that is they're driven to find.
Yeah, you sounds like you're describing something about the difference between a job and a vocation.
Yeah, yep.
This is New York City acting teacher Grace Kiley, also at work on a solo play about the life of Grace Kelly, and I'm going to get to that with you in just a bit. We've got a call at 203-776-9677. Jump right in to talk to Grace Kiley. Paul, welcome to the show.
Oh, yes, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I can take my answer dialogue off the air, but like many other parents, I've got a 5-year-old daughter who, like probably all other 5-year-old daughters, loves to dress up, dance, sing, you name it. And we did enroll her in dancing classes. Also, she started with a local acting play that she was involved in, just as, you know, an introductory. But she seems to really enjoy it. And my question really is, is there anything for your, I guess, from your guest that you see a natural ability in someone even at that age that you would, you know, maybe continue to pursue? Or is it something that, you know, all 5-year-olds just love to do this type of thing? I mean,
that's a great, Paul, that is a good question. That is a great question because I have a lot of questions about kids too. Mm. And so we're going to really get into this with Grace. Paul, stay, you know, off the air, keep listening. We're going to get to the answer on the other side of this break, and we'll be right back with acting teacher Grace Kiley. Find what we talk about on the show online anytime at WNPR.org. Right now, if you can find delicious recipes for dinner, wines, cocktails for every day, much more. Click on programs at WNPR.org for the Faith Middleton Show. Also, information about my guest, Grace Kiley, is there. She's working on a solo play about the life of Grace Kelly and is a well-known acting teacher in New York, trained herself with Uta Hagen. She teaches all over the place, Grace does. So, Grace, Paul was asking about his child, how to tell the difference whether this child is signaling that she wants to get into entertainment, you know, into acting and performance in some way, or she's just being a kid. How do you tell the difference?
Well, she is just being a kid. And it's interesting that when you're training actors, you're really encouraging them to go back to being a kid. mm-hmm. going back into how they worked with their imaginations and explored and expanded. But I would say just to keep an eye on it, you know, and watch her. She might exactly be headed toward being an actor, but I wouldn't jump to five is young. I wouldn't jump to conclusions about it. I would watch her and give her plenty of space and not sort of funnel her into anything unless she says, I want to.
Yeah. Acting parents also know this, you know, when to jump in and say, well, okay. Mm-hmm. So what is it that kids have that is so natural that adults want to go back and get, that want, you know, that we want access to? And what happens to us after being kids that starts to make things more complicated?
Kids trust themselves. They trust what they love. They trust their imaginations. And adults, as they become adults, start to lose their trust in themselves. I think that's why acting is so fascinating, because you learn to trust yourself. You need to, in order to go on stage and open up and be vulnerable. It takes so much vulnerability to be an actor. And the child isn't concerned about being vulnerable. They're just involved in the world of play, and in that they're learning, you know. They're not doing their academic learning per se, but they're learning about life and about who they are and about the elements around them and mm-hmm. relationships. They're learning all kinds of beautiful things. So
they're brave. They're so brave, kids are.
Yes, they are. They are. They're brave, and they're aware, and they're alert, and they're intuitive. And it's brilliant.
and every once in a while we come upon an adult who has managed somehow to stay close to that sense of wonder mm-hmm. about the world. And we always want to be around those people.
Yeah.
It's infectious. So, let's take a call from Lila. Hi,
okay.
Lila, Faith Middleton. Go ahead.
Thank you. I am very interested in your question, Faith, about applying acting skills to law enforcement, for example. I've just started a consulting business called Performing Your Profession, and I'm using theater techniques to train lawyers, ministers, doctors, and educational leaders.
Okay. So you're talking about this sort of public speaking, public performance aspect of the work that these people do.
Not exactly. Well, my theory is, number one, that theater skills are life skills, and number two, that a professional performs every minute of his or her professional life. You are on stage, as it were. So I've devised the whole, I've been giving workshops for lawyers. I'm preparing to offer some courses at law schools. I've devised a series of acting techniques from a variety of acting theorists, and it's all based on psychological truth from uh-huh. right brain, left brain, and all of that stuff. So theater skills are life skills.
Good for you. Thank you so much, Lila.
Thank you.
Grace, I too was going to ask you if there is, you know, what would happen if everybody at some point took acting classes mm-hmm. to get in touch with the authentic self?
Yeah, I love it when all kinds of people come because of that reason. You know, in the industry, there are not as many opportunities as there are actors out there, but people who come to acting and to my class become excited about it because their lives begin to shift, and it's wonderful to see that. Because they're moving into themselves and opening up and exploring parts of themselves that they may have not been able to do in any other setting except for an acting class.
Grace, I would say that through the years, talking with actors, many of them well-known, that possibly a majority of them seem like shy people. Now, not to the point where I would say actors are really secretly shy, but a significant portion of them.
Yeah.
So I guess we call them introverted extroverts. They can perform, but they're basically, they also have a big shy streak. How do they do it?
It's so funny because I was the shyest person alive growing up, and I really didn't start to come out into the world until I was in Uta Hagen's acting class, and it was through acting that I was able to. And so I think it's kind of what I was saying before.
Yeah.
If the actor is grounded in an environment and starts connecting to the environment and finds meaning in what they're doing, they're not self-aware anymore. There's a bigger thing that they're going for. There's a bigger meaning in what they're doing. So it's not a self-consciousness about myself. It's more of a focus on there's something bigger and more important that needs to be taken care of.
What about character actors? I'm wondering how it is that we tolerate the character actor, because here is a person who has something so significant in his or her personality that you see that thing in every performance, and yet, for instance, let me Al Pacino. Now, he's always Al Pacino, but he's riveting no matter what he does. You know, so I think about Christopher Walken, and yet I can't take my eyes off him because he's still Christopher Walken. Mm. It's Christopher Walken doing so-and-so. So what do we do with our minds in the audience that allows us to accept that?
If the actor is fully engaged in what they're doing and it's genuine, there's a real connection to what they're doing, the audience is instantly drawn inside it, because we're all porous. We all are communicating to each other all the time, even passing people on the street. There'll be a great moment with a stranger. Mm. And we're always sending, you know, information. And the role that the audience is in is as audience, which is open and available and receptive to enter into the field of the play. And so the actor focused and really connecting with what they're doing in an active way, the audience can't help but be drawn inside it, unless they've predetermined that they're not going to and are putting up a wall. But that's what human beings do. They constantly connect and are drawn into each other. And also, because if the actor is doing something genuine and true in himself, it's going to resonate with you in the audience, because we're all universal. And that's why we want to go. We want to learn something about our own lives, or being brought into our lives in a way more deeply, or in a more exciting way, or whatever. It's waking up different parts of ourselves that are there, that is in us anyway. Hmm. The actor is triggering that.
This is New York City acting teacher Grace Kiley, also at work on a solo play. So how, Grace, did you, an extremely painfully shy person, end up studying with the legendary teacher Uta Hagen?
The thing about Uta Hagen that was so wonderful for me, she wrote a couple of books, but the first one was called Respect for Acting. And I was at HB Studio studying with a different teacher, Catherine Sergeva, and I read Respect for Acting. And when I read it, everything that she wrote made sense. I could connect with what she was saying, and I was so excited because there was a place to attach it to.
But wait a minute. If you were such a painfully shy child, what were you doing in any acting class?
The acting, it wasn't about showing myself. It was about the going into the world of imagination and play and beauty and possibility. it wasn't so much about being looked at, it was being allowed to go in and live in depth and learn about things and express myself in the land of, you know, a play or a story.
Did your parents understand?
My parents were both very eccentric, and my mother was a writer, my father a landscape architect. And I think they brought us up in a way where whatever you felt passionate about, go for it. Yet when I was in New York, I didn't feel tons of support, so it was a bit of a struggle.
Yeah. So what about the actor? In a way, this is a version of a question I just asked you about the character actor. Mm. But I'm trying to understand how it happens that you are, someone I just loved, James Gandolfini, and he could be in The Sopranos and this guy with an enormous evil streak, and though you could see his humanity, but then he's in Enough Said just before he died, and he is the most vulnerable, lovable, decent human being. And so you saw, you know, it was so, I mean, I wept at the end because I saw his range as never before. Mm. How is it what you were saying before? I mean, I just wonder what it is, say, about him that made him able to do that.
To go from
being so believable as an evil guy, where you think, I didn't know James Gandolfini, and I thought, oh, he must have a real mean streak in there somewhere that he's tapping into.
Yeah.
And maybe he did. I don't know.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he has to in order to tap into it. We all have a mean streak. And we all have, you know, we have all of those parts in us. What the actor has to do is leave the dominant part of themselves, which is the one that functions day by day, and find other parts of himself that are not dominant and bring them up in order to create the character. So when you're creating a character, you're not jumping outside your skin because you can't. You're in your skin. It's more that you're shifting your dominance, finding the part of yourself and that's cruel. That's evil, that's selfish. You have to explore the whole gamut of who you are, and that's what makes a really exciting actor. You're always yourself, and you recognize the same actor again and again and again, because we all have an essence that's recognizable, but you need to be able to pull up parts of yourself that aren't dominant, and then put them away again when you're done with the show.
Yeah.
That's important.
Here's a one. There's the choreographer Tina Bausch has been known to cast in her dance performances people who are heavy set. Mm. They're not classical dancers. They're quite heavy. And the performances are, you know, beautiful, extraordinary, so filled with depth and richness, and yet there's something else going on because of what she's done. And it made me think, oh, I wonder what's the equivalent to that in theater? You know, would it be doing something, as we've seen some movies recently where none of the people were actors, professional actors.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be the equivalent? Where you're going against type completely.
Yeah. So that the dancers that you're talking about aren't school dancers that she's using?
No.
Yeah. I think it would be. You can get someone acting very quickly. If you give them a structure and you set up a scene and that there's something that they want, people are acting instantly. It's not a big deal to get people acting. You know, as it evolves, then they start going deeper and deeper. But if you get someone needing something and they have a connection to what they need, their impulse will go toward it, and that's acting. Acting is doing, Uta Hagen would always say. Acting is doing. You're not acting it out. You're doing something that you need, and what we see is the acting. But the actor isn't acting. They're going after something.
You mean they want something?
They want something. There needs to be an objective, something that they want.
I think about Alan Arkin more than anybody. Yeah, when I was getting ready for this, I thought, Alan Arkin is one, as an actor, he's been on the show where I just cannot believe the ability that he has to at least seem, it, to me it's be, himself, and yet brilliant in his performances. Is would he, for you, be one of the most natural actors out there?
Yeah, I think he's fantastic. But he really taps into himself in such a full and completely expressive way. I love that about him.
So let's get to this play. Your name is Grace, and you have been working on this play on the life of Grace Kelly. What prompted that?
I hadn't moved back to New York yet. I was still in Vermont. I moved back about 10 years ago, and I was looking for a vehicle, you know, something that I could jump in and work on that would be exciting to me. And this idea just popped into my head. I'm going to write a play about Grace Kelly. And then I went, what? Who are you to? And then I forgot about it for a couple of years and then was living here. And I think there was something about her that haunted me. There's a look in her eye, especially as she aged, her that looked sad. There's a sadness, yet on the other side there's a sort of striking, poised, a woman that looks like she's got everything at her fingertips. Everything is a perfect life. And I was curious about what happened to her, what happened to her acting career specifically, and started to do research on that.
And what did you learn?
What I learned was, I think that the story that you more commonly hear about her is that she left acting to be this princess and follow this superior life. I didn't find that. I think she left her acting and she lost her soul in a way. I think it broke her heart, because she disengaged from a part of herself that she truly was and that gave her great fulfillment and, happiness. And I was interested in that story.
Yes. It's such a great idea for a play, I think. I've always been very curious about her and that veneer. And like you, what is behind that expression?
Yeah.
So Grace, stay where you are, okay? We're going to invite callers at 203-776-9677 if you're interested in acting or have a question for our great acting teacher, Grace Kelly. We'll be right back. I'm Faith Middleton. Thank you so much for listening. And thanks to our talented crew, producer Jonathan McNichol and senior producer Lori Mack. I wanted to let you know that the Pace Gallery in New York City has right now a spectacular show. It runs through April 5th, so you'd have to move pretty quickly. They're on West 25th Street in New York City. And this is an exhibition that explores the legacy of Mingay. It's a Japanese folk craft movement. It's led by philosopher and critic Suetsu Yanagi, and it questions the presence of craftsmanship in contemporary art. It's all around us all the time, and you see it displayed there. This was originally at Pace in London last year, and it's new. It's curated by Nicolas Tremblay, and 80 works, 30 artists. It is unbelievable. I just went crazy over this. It's so beautiful. Even one item placed next to another was a work of art. So that's Mingay MINGEI, Are You Here? At Pace Gallery in New York City. Right now, I have an artist, Grace Kylie, who is an acting teacher, studied with Uta Hagen, teaches at the Stella Adler Studio, NYU, Tisch, Trinity La Mama, independently at The Network, and is coached at 20th Century Fox, has had training as a therapist, too. I guess, Grace, what would happen to your play now on the life of Grace Kelly? You had a couple runs as kind of trying it out in the city. And so what happens next?
Well, I did it in New York at 59E59 in United Solo. And then I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, and did 3 weeks as part of the festival.
Oh.
And then back in New York. Right now, I have a small production company, and we're looking into doing a longer run in New York. So we're exploring that possibility right now, and hope to get that happening this summer or later in the year.
And one woman? Is it a one woman?
Yeah, it's a solo show.
Yep.
Right. And okay. I'm also booked in Estonia in August, so I'm bringing it there, and possibly Poland in May, and then hopefully London and Ireland, Dublin. So the thing that's beautiful about these festivals is you can travel the world endlessly doing your piece. So
isn't that terrific?
Yeah, it's very fun.
Can I ask you about something about movie acting? In Take After Take, for these actors who do movies, these aren't in sequence. It's not like the director says, well, let's start at minute one, and then you be ready at minute 103, because that's how the movie goes. Everything is out of sequence, and for an individual actor, too. So you can have a bunch of takes here, and then a whole other scene over here. And I think to myself, how do you stay authentic when you're an actor doing it like that? How do you... how do you stay satisfied with the kind of work you do?
Oh,
why doesn't it feel like piecework?
Well, with a movie, you if you're out of sequence, you need to have studied the arc of the play so that you know where each scene fits into that, the arc of the story, and so that when you're doing a scene, even if it's out of sequence, you're working on that piece, and you know what it needs in terms of the whole story. Doing take after take is really what technique is about. It's being able to find the what we call inner objects, the stimulus for bringing yourself into the action of the character, and having the outer scene of the screenplay to have connections with that, have made emotional connections to the outer content, in other words, the physical environment, the objects, the other characters, so that you once you get that stimulus going, you go for what you want, and you open up completely and allow yourself to drop into it. It's actually not boring, it's extremely exciting. Because if you drop into it and stay open, you don't necessarily know where it's going to go. If you truly drop into it, it will never be the same. And that's why they do take after take, because there are new possibilities depending on your focus and kind of what happens in the moment.
Doesn't your description of this make us understand how complex, how amazing it is that all these people in who are making a movie come together?
Yeah.
I see why, after all, you know, so we've described the challenge of the actor beautifully. You just did dropping in, all the possibilities, director saying, try it this way, try it. Then we get to the editor, mm-hmm. who's with the director, has to choose which of those scenes fits with the one before it and after, and the whole arc and the complexity of that
right.
character,
yeah.
all
yeah.
the other things. Amazing. You know how they say live theater is really the ultimate experience for an actor, but when you describe how hard it is
yeah.
to do a movie and drop in instantly, I think, well.
Yeah, I think the only difference with a movie is it's going to get mixed up in the editing room, so you're not, the final version is going to be what the editor has put together. So there's another transformation then.
So you can't be a control freak.
No,
in the movie.
Absolutely can't be. You just give.
Do you remember or know Lee Brewer of Mabu Minds Theater Company? So he has been famous for, works a lot in France and then comes over to the United States, and he's been famous for this kind of wild theater, you know, wild kind of pageantry and puppets and people singing and speaking out things and video, and they're not musicals, you know, they're just this kind of wild pageant. That seems to give you a feeling of the dynamics of life, you know, and I go to things that he does and I could just fall over with joy and interest. And then I realize right after that a lot of theater seems way too confined to me. Do you ever get
so
that
confined
feeling?
Yeah. Well, you know, so much of it is the orientation of the company and who the playwright might be. You know, if it's playwrights Arthur Miller, it's going to be how he's figured out things and how to express and through the writing. But, you know, there was the recent plays, the Shakespeare plays with Mark Rylance on Broadway.
Oh, I saw that.
You know, that was a whole new way of doing Shakespeare that was so rich and beautiful and alive. You know, it was so exciting that they were, you know, that company is tapping into Shakespeare in that way and has found Shakespeare that way and brought it to us.
I did see that, and I flipped because it was the best Shakespeare I have ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But for those who haven't seen it, how would you? I don't even know how to describe.
Well, the thing that struck me about it is sometimes Shakespeare just feels word heavy. Period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot, and it's heavy in the mind when you're watching it. This was not word heavy because the acting was between. There was so much going on between the words. They might say something, and then you know what I would say about it. It was fully active. There was no, you know, it was everything was alive. And the other thing that was beautiful about it is the actors had this modesty about them where they weren't performing, they were so fully open and vulnerable and spontaneous that it just, I mean, that's what it felt to me, that it was just flying with life. And I love the way they included the audience. I've never been included in that huge theater as an audience quite so seamlessly. I felt like I was on stage with them.
Yeah. Oh, you have done the best job describing that. Okay, so this is Grace Kiley, the acting teacher and performer. Ronald Faith Middleton, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up?
We're great. Ronald, what's happening with you?
Yeah, I know the actors.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is Tom Cruise and Michael J. Fox.
Okay, and are those actors you like a lot?
Yeah.
And do you know why you like them?
Yeah, I like the way they act.
Yeah, and so do they feel like your friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Ronald, thank you so much for being on the show.
Me too.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. So this happens to actors, of course, all the time. We think Ronald's brought up something interesting. We think we know them.
Mm-hmm.
And
The other thing that's really beautiful is different people resonate with different actors. And Ronald resonates with the actors he mentioned probably because he has a connection somehow to them.
Mm-hmm.
Where another person might resonate with a different actor because something about that actor resonates with them. And it's fun when you can connect with different actors because it actually makes you feel more alive.
And this explains why you'll be in a room or a dinner with somebody and an actor's name comes up and certain people will say, I can't stand that person.
Right,
and the others will say, a genius, you know.
That's right, yes.
So, in acting class, when you're doing physical exercises, voice exercises, and sometimes outside the box stuff, what is the physicality of that doing to you as an actor?
Well, I don't teach voice in my classes, but the voice and all, you're really strengthening and opening all parts of your body and your mind. So the voice is going to, of course, affect you vocally. It's going to open up your voice, and it's going to open up the range of your voice. So if you're playing certain characters, you might find that character through something vocal, you know, through a way of even the way that you're breathing. You might find something about that character, but you're really doing those exercises. So if you're on stage and you have to project, your voice is going to be with you. You know, if you need to move in a certain way, your body's going to be able to move with you and extend where that character needs to extend.
Do you watch Girls?
What's that?
Do you watch Girls on HBO?
I've watched it maybe once. Maybe twice.
Okay. I was going to ask you if you thought Lena Dunham was particularly brave in that series. So let me ask you this, if you don't watch that so much. Can you watch something, as a person, watch something and not be critiquing, you know, not be on the job?
What I love to do when I watch plays or films is I love to see if I can see technique in an actor. There was a play that I saw a few years ago, and I felt that I could see the technique that each person on stage was using, except one. I couldn't see her technique, and it was because she was so integrated. I'm not critical. I'm curious. Of course I'm critical. I'm very critical. But I try to look inside and try to understand, because this is how I teach. If I can understand what might be in the way of an actor, then I can help them move through it. So I'm always interested in that puzzle, looking into the layers of the work.
Yeah, writers, I know with a novel, unless I believe the writer, that novel is going nowhere with me.
Right.
And
right.
So same in theater, I guess, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you can see technique, you can't lose yourself to it.
That's right. That's right. You can admire the technique just the way you can admire an acrobatic, you know, feat, but you don't get lost in it completely.
It is, what a world this is, this acting world, and what a thing it is at this in this century, you know, this new century we're in, the last,
right,
I mean, I
right.
guess for as you know, the through the last few generations, I mean, what an amazing thing this is.
Yeah, and it's interesting that these solo shows have come up. There's solo shows all around the world, and it's such an amazing vehicle for, if someone wants to act, they can create their own show.
And you know what?
They can act, you know?
Grace, that parallels the huge number of memoirs in publishing.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's something, some kind of wave about the interior self that, you know, the story that has to have some kind of action in a certain kind of way.
Yeah, well, everyone has a story. Yeah. Everyone has a unique story, and there's opportunities to express it and explore it. And I think it's really valuable for the world to hear those stories. We learn something, you know, from all these people.
Except for my friend who has been known to say to certain long talkers, "You're not seriously thinking of going on about that, are you?" Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Such a treat.
Okay.
You can Google Grace Kiley in New York City to find out about this really great acting teacher. As always, this show is about the richness of life. Find the books, people, great recipes, wines, and cocktails we feature right now at WNPR.org. Click on Programs. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.